The story of Jubilee Community Church is a story of determination. The determination to apply the gospel of Jesus Christ into a broken and sinful society where specific sins had created and still creates specific pain. It's a story that isn't complete, but the determination is still there. And it is a story by which we can, of course, give thanks to God for his amazing grace. And I believe there are at least five reasons to be thankful tonight as we remember our past, look at who we are now, and look into the future. Reasons to thank God for his mercy. I'm going to spend a little longer on this first one because it was mentioned numerous times in the video. And that is, first of all, we give thanks for the activity of the Holy Spirit. There is a slide presentation for this. No, maybe not. As you've heard this evening, the beginning of our church was the result of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, as the believers suddenly burst into the streets of Jerusalem prophesying, Peter gets up to explain to the people what's happening. And he does that by quoting the Bible. This is what was spoken, says Peter, by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. John the Baptist had spoken of this experience as being the specific gift of Jesus Christ to his followers. He said, I baptize you with water, but he who's coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And Jesus himself asserted that it wasn't only his gift, but the Father's promise for all his children. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is what happened in the 1980s at Weinberg Baptist Church. Now, we're not a single issue church, but this is a key aspect of scriptural Christianity, which we highly prize, both because of our experience and because of God's word. This experience that happened in the 80s at Weinberg Baptist has been repeated again and again, not only millions of times over the centuries, but millions of times even in our contemporary day. Graham Ingram was leading the way and teaching from the Bible as he did so. And as you heard, there was resistance from the deacons. And Jesus' reference to new wine needing to go into a new wineskin seemed pertinent and relevant. You don't pour new wine into an old wineskin, otherwise the wineskin breaks and the wine is lost. You put new wine into a new wineskin and both are saved. And Dave alluded to it in the video. We honor our Baptist history. We don't belittle it. Jubilee's roots are clearly traceable to the ministry of C.H. Spurgeon and the two key men sent from Spurgeon's College, Graham Ingram in the 1970s and William Hamilton in the 1870s. But all of that is history and nostalgia apart from the power of the Holy Spirit coming and making the word alive to people. And that's what's happened to us. And someone looking on may say, well, surely a subjective experience of the Spirit would cause an imbalance in the church, wouldn't it? But an experience of the person of the Holy Spirit is an experience of the revelation of the love of the Father and of the glory of Christ, God's Son. If we were able to access our 40 years of just Sunday morning sermons, that's over 2,000 sermons, apart from evenings, camps, and other teaching opportunities and situations, you'd find a balanced doctrinal and theological diet. And if you ask, well, why should a new church be birthed through an outpouring of the Spirit and a sudden experience of spiritual gifts. Well, you only need to open up your Bible to see that the first church was birthed through an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a sudden experience of spiritual gifts. What we have here is something biblical, but it needs to be guarded and it needs to be guided, which is why we also give thanks for the second key aspect of our life together, which is expository preaching from the Bible. We really do believe in that. Graham Ingram grew up, as you heard, in the UK. He was converted in an era of great expository Bible teaching. He often listened to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones preaching at Westminster Chapel while he was at Spurgeon's. Lloyd-Jones' essential description of good preaching is theology coming through a man who's on fire. That sounds more Pentecostal, doesn't it, than Reformed? But Graham was filled with the Holy Spirit and he continued to excel in his teaching gift. And he knew that expounding scripture was the safest way to guide the church and to guard the mission that we'd been given. And the mission wasn't to spread Bible knowledge. That wasn't the mission. That's included in the mission, but that's not the mission. The mission was to build and reproduce churches along the lines of the New Testament that were relevant in South Africa and beyond. We were to be a prophetic people with our beliefs rooted not in tradition, but in the Word of God. One of the slanders that's aimed at churches who acknowledge the biblical gifts of the Spirit is that somehow we would expect new revelation, like new scripture. And that's not it. Terry Virgo, Graham Ingram, Henry Tyler, Alan Jansen, who was a great and is a great Bible teacher, Michael Eaton, who Graham baptized in water, and many others in those early days knew that applying scripture thoroughly would help us build apostolic and prophetic foundations, new church structures, real social engagement, and a vision for a glorious church without neglecting individual sanctification and the growth of the individual Christian. In fact, an emphasis on grace just resounded as they preached, as Graham preached through the book of Romans. 40 years later, here we are again as a church preaching through the book of Romans. So our emphasis on Bible teaching, for which we give thanks, didn't isolate us from the political injustices in our local context. Rather, we were exhorted to, as you've just heard, to remember the poor. To remember the poor. It's an emphasis for which we give thanks. We heard a short clip of Simon's groundbreaking sermon. Find it on YouTube. It's an amazing sermon, and it impacted thousands of churches around the world, and it came out of Jubilee's experience here in Cape Town. Like so many other aspects of our Christian lives, our spiritual lives, our understanding on this issue was intertwined with our experience. Preaching the gospel led to conversions and additions to the church, which naturally meant getting involved in people's lives. And in Cape Town, with its racially segregated city planning, its shocking disparity of wealth and poverty, Christians would need to deny their Christian responsibility to forget the poor or to ignore the poor. And we now have, amazingly, Steve Stesinger tells me, 21 social ministries, which are either partly or fully run by Jubilee. It's okay to support outside ministries, but in the New Testament, remembering the poor is a personal responsibility and a local church responsibility. We never want to say, we've got our social work people doing it out there. We don't want to say that. We want to say, hey, we are responsible for caring for the poor ourselves. We thank God for many Jubilee members who are engaged, determined, persevering in serving the poor in so many ways, and we trust it'll be as much a part of our future as it has been as our past, and as Bible teaching is, and as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fourthly, two more. Racial diversity. I mean, we've heard it. I hardly need to remind us. But our diversity initially, of course, came out as a result of our evangelism. We were on a mission to reach Cape Town, not just a bit of Cape Town, not just a segment of Cape Town, but our mission is to reach the whole of Cape Town. The so-called homogeneous principle of church growth may work in terms of number and comfort, the idea of reaching people just like yourself. But in the South African context, that's not right. It sounds like spiritual segregation. It sounds like spiritual separate development. We're against it. And as you know, trying to break into the sinful separation that was diabolically structured and enforced by government was not an easy thing to do. But the joy of going into the townships, the joy of being welcomed and of welcoming our own people from the townships into churches like this in the suburbs was then considered a new thing and a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing, a radical thing. I was here in 1987 during the state of emergency under P.W. Botha, and we were working in Talanga and KTC with Craig Botha, no relation, by the way, and Sue McBride and 50 other volunteers who'd come across, including Simon and Lindsay actually on that trip, from New Frontiers churches, and the joy of finding each other and of connecting one to another in those days was just remarkable. And as you heard, it led to us planting two vibrant churches into Kailicha under Craig and Shannon, who spearheaded that plant, and into Guguletu, and Nigel and Lisa Measures spearheaded that plant. And Nigel and Lisa are here tonight as well, and you're very welcome among us. Those were amazing days, long before it was trendy to have kind of different languages in our worship songs. Evan Rogers was working hard, sitting with our township mamas and trying to work out the translation of different words so that we could incorporate different, a multilingual worship emphasis in the life of Jubilee. And we rejoice in being racially diverse. We're more diverse now than we were in the 80s. I think that was one of the big shocks as I was looking through some of these old photographs that you've seen on the slideshow, how white we were. We probably still are a bit white. We have leaders today from every background, though. We know we still got a way to go. We've made many mistakes. We have taken detours that have been unhelpful, but we are resolved. Our determination to apply the gospel of Christ remains the same. We're heading in the same direction. And finally, as we've heard just at the end of the video there, local and even global mission, which sounds a bit grand for us now, because our focus really in the last few years has been on Cape Town, but our eyes are being lifted once again, because our conviction to restore the church along New Testament lines means that we do believe in apostolic and prophetic ministry and in an expansive mission beyond just where we are. And it means we're learning much from people who are outside South Africa, as well as hearing from those of us who are inside as well. We've seen amazing works of God, individual conversions. I heard someone this afternoon telling me, I came to the Lord in Wynberg Boys High after you preached. I thought, wow, I didn't even know that. We've seen scores of people pouring to the front in this room, giving their lives to Christ. But we also want to plant churches. And even today, with our current leadership training program that we're running in the city and in OBS here, we know it's not just potential leaders and potential elders, but also potential church planters that we're investing in. We are back in a kind of apostolic environment once again. And we thank God for Dave and Liz and the others and for our New Frontiers family. As Dave said, it's grown globally. And New Frontiers now across the world is no longer majority English speaking. Of course it isn't. It's grown phenomenally, and we're so grateful to God that we're part of something, not just that's handling local challenges, but something also that's much bigger than ourselves. God himself has been good to us. He's the key to all the blessing, to all the faithfulness, to all the goodness, to all the forgiveness, to all the mercy that we've enjoyed over the years. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Hallelujah. For his praise and for his glory. We've got so much to give thanks for. Let me finish with a quote from Psalm 106. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord or declare his praise? Amen? Amen. We're going to spend some time praying. And Jeremy and Siviwe, where's Siviwe, are going to lead us in that.